Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. And truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on another Thursday, another hot day in the nation's capital. We thank God for just continuing to watch over and keep us, and like only He can. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., we're continuing to study in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and we are picking up from last week where we talked about how Cornelius and Peter were brought together by God for the common message of the good news of Jesus Christ, and how important it was. I believe you were talking about this in the last time we were together, how each group, whether it was the Jews with Peter or the Gentiles with Cornelius, played their role to bring their groups together for the common glorification or spreading of the word, the good news of Jesus. And you know, every week we talk about there's nothing new under the sun, and how things that went on back in biblical days are similar to the things that go on in the modern day, in the 21st century. And the two groups coming together for the common good of both nations is what we see is playing out in our society today. You mentioned it, Dr. G, about the hurricanes that were hitting our city and our countries, and how the unrest of social economic disparities, police brutality. Just this past Monday, we saw another black male get shot in the back. Fortunately, he's alive, but he's reported to have paralyzation from the waist down. And it is something to see that after all the slogans and the hashtags, that it's still going to come down to people from every nation coming together and saying that these things are right. And until they get right with God, God will demonstrate to us that he's not pleased, whether it's fires in California, whether it's hurricanes and tornadoes in Louisiana and Texas, and all these things that are happening, not just in the United States, but around the world, that the groups of people that need to come together, they realize that God is not a respecter of person, but God wants all to be saved and put back into relationship with him so that they can have the proper relationship with each other. And we're seeing groups that you would never think would come together
right.
are starting to come together to champion this common message, sort of like what Peter and Cornelius are doing here in the 10th chapter of Acts. Sheila G.
Amen. And you're and so right, as we're watching the news today, whereas what happened with Jacob Blake's with the shooting, man, God revealed the injustice by what the white 17-ager did, and where the cops drove right by him when he had an automatic weapon in his gun and did nothing, and he ended up killing people. But then on top of that, first you have the NBA that says enough's enough. So that's made up of mostly African-American players. But then even today, the Hockey League, which is like 90% mm-hmm. white, basically said, mm-hmm. we're not playing either. You had the baseball, the Major League Baseball, whose majority white players, saying we're not playing either. And it's amazing because when you think about it, 4 years ago, last year was when Colin Kaepernick was the first one mm-hmm. to take a knee about this police brutality, and they ran him out of town. But God, as we were talking about before, it was like, okay, it's starting, and it's starting. Then came in this current administration, stuff got exposed. And just this week, so many things happened between the shooting, the hurricane, the fires, and even one of the big evangelicals was brought down, too, for say, okay, the church is going to be exposed as well because you're taking in all this money, you're leading all these people supposedly to Christ, but your stuff is messed up. So God is showing all this, but by the same token, people are coming together peacefully in mm-hmm. love and exposing the hate. And even when the hate was trying to say, well, they're going to come and into your neighborhoods and you need to be scared because black folks are going to start shooting you up. Look at these protests. Well, the one killing in the protest was basically a white supremacist or a white nationalist. So then all of these different sports arenas with all the different colors, races, religions came together and basically said enough.
Amen, amen. And again, that just goes to show you that God is not a respecter of person. And this is what the Bible is teaching. If we go to Acts 10, verse 34, and this is what Peter, this is where he left off last week. And this is where Peter begins to bring across God's message. And I'm just going to pick up with the first part of Acts 10, verse 34. It says, then Peter began to speak. He said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. In other words, he's coming to this understanding. And before people can move forward in the way God wants them to, they first have to understand God. That God's not, he doesn't show favoritism. In verse 35, this is what God is looking for. Verse 35, he says, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. I mean, he broke it down simply that you have to fear him or reverence God and do what is right. And when people realize that this is who God desires, a people who reverence him and do what is right in his sight. And you begin the understanding of what is the ills of every nation, because every nation has good people, every nation has bad people, every race has good people, every race has bad people. But what God is saying is that wherever your nation is, whatever your background is, whatever your color is, what he's concerned about is people that fear him, reverence him, and do righteousness in his sight. And when it breaks it down to that, what happens, people have to realize that the errors of their way, when they begin to say, my nation makes me right, or my color makes me right, or my income makes me right, or my background makes me right. But the only thing that can make us right in the sight of God is the righteousness that would cover those sinners that were saved by grace by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to start understanding that, that's when things will begin to change. When people's hearts, when people's minds begin to change and say, I need to do what's right in the sight of God, I need to fear, I need to reverence him, then what will happen is we'll begin to start changing. But when people's hearts and minds begin to realize who God is and the way God sees things and the way God wants things, that's when this change will happen. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, because I was sitting here thinking about the Israelites. I mean, look how long it took them from when the Lord chose them, and each generation that came after the first, they just continued to go in the wrong direction. I mean, they did everything in the wrong way. And God continued to bless and lead them and all that, but it got to a point where the Lord says enough is enough. So now you look at where we are, and he's beginning to open it up to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
Israelites just wouldn't do right. And you're right, until people get to a point where they understand that if this thing is bigger than me and mine or my race and all this other junk that we've been living, because as Sheila was saying, you know, there's unrest in all nations. You've got people protesting in all countries all across the world on top of the pandemic. So, you know, it's not just in the U.S. The Lord has just said he's had enough. And until people get that right in their hearts and their minds, there's never going to be any peace.
Sheila G.
And it was kind of like what I was talking about last week about being right with God versus being self-righteous. And we have become self-righteous, not just here, but also in other nations, and around the world. Everybody had become self-righteous, that they were right within themselves. And God's basically saying, no, you need to be right with God. God be right.
All right, man.
But,
amen.
And so we pick up in verse 36, Acts 10, verse 36, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who was Lord of all. And he's trying to appeal to Cornelius, appeal to those Jews that came with him about the message a piece. And I don't care where you are, how old you are, where you come from. If you're on this planet and you have a pulse, and if you've ever experienced trial and strife and tribulation and hatred, there's nothing like peace.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a few minutes of peace, I mean, just like 15 minutes of peace or 5 minutes of peace to get away from the terrible way man can behave at times.
Yeah.
You can't put a price tag on it. I don't care what your credit limit is on your American Express. I don't care what it is, how much gold or silver you got. If you got an unlimited credit on your American Express, if you got tens of millions and billions of gold and silver, and you don't have peace, Lord have mercy, you're miserable.
That's right.
You're miserable. And God is saying in verse 30, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And he's saying this to the Jews. He's saying this to the Gentiles. He's saying this to the nations around the world. You're in war. You're in turmoil. You're fighting each other. You're fighting as black, white, Jews, Gentiles. You're fighting. You're in constant turmoil. You're in constant war and rumors of war. And you're in this constant state of unrest. And you can't live with your neighbor. You can't live with those on your job. You can't live with those who don't look like you. And he's saying, you know the message. The message is that the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And he's imploring them that if you want peace, because the Jews fought against the Gentiles. The Jews had nothing to do with the Gentile. The Gentile had nothing to do with the Jew. But God says, in this moment, I'm going to bring both of them together and show them my way, which is the better way, that will bring them what they want, which is peace. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were saying, bring them together, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in unity. When there's division, that's when there's no peace.
Amen.
Even when you're like growing up in just your family with the mom and the dad and the kids, and when all the kids are fighting and everybody's fighting and everything, there's no peace
mm-hmm.
in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody comes together, like you play a family game or what we used to play, something in the dark, hide and seek, all that stuff, your games or things like that, we used to say, what was it, night tag, stuff like that,
yeah.
When you're in everybody together, that's when you have peace. But when there's division and you're not working towards that one common goal, that's when the enemy can get in, sift everybody like wheat, and then it's just a hot mess. But when you are striving towards the same thing and everybody's unified, that's when you can have peace.
Amen. Dr. G, it's the same way in the church today. It's like, you know, when the schisms come in of we did it better than you, or you did it better than us, or you can't do it better than us, this choir, or the young people, or the old people, or this one gave more money, or this one bought two pews, and this one bought another pew, or this service is, the early service is better than the second service, and you have this strife, unrest, and ungodliness in the church, and there's no peace, and so before you can, the Holy Spirit can bring the message across, he's got to deal with all of this unrest and uneasiness and all of this cynicism and all of this gossip and all of this schism. It has to be dealt with before people can get on one accord and focus on what they came to worship for. And that's to worship and praise God and hear a word from God. But as a leader, I'm sure you've heard and you can share with us, I'm sure you've had times where before you even get to the place where the Holy Spirit is ready to bring the message, you've had to deal with so much unrest and so much strife that it's almost like a battle that you have to deal with in order to get the message out through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then dealing with all of this strife and schism, now you got to make sure you're under the anointing to deliver the message that God wants to be delivered. But before you can get there, the Holy Spirit has to untie all of this unrest in order to have peace enough for the Holy Spirit to be able to minister, Dr. G.
You're right. And it takes a strong individual to be that kind of person that the Lord wants. When I go back and I think about my early days at New Birth, I used to tell them that they hooked me like a big old fish on a spot, and I got pulled in, and everything appeared on the surface to be rosy and nice and that. But the Lord had already revealed to me that there were some things that were going to have to be changed. And after I got in there, it looked like all hell broke loose. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I remember this one Sunday. I was in the back getting ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And the chairman, who was the chairman of the deacons at that time, he had gotten older and had an illness to the point where he had to roll around with his air tank. And he I don't know what happened, but during the midst of the praise and worship service, he was hollering and acting stupid. And I heard him, and I opened the door, and I heard him tell somebody they were out of order. And the Spirit took hold of me. I told him, no, you are out of order. And boyfriend got mad, upset, grabbed his air tank, got and left.
That was Sunday morning.
That was on a Sunday morning before services, praise and worship.
Yep.
Got his wife. She followed him. I closed the door, prayed, came on out, and we had church.
Amen.
Those were the types of things that went on. So it takes a strong individual who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because he's got to make a stand. He or she has got to make a stand and do it God's way. Because when the devil gets in there, he don't care if it's a meeting, in the choir, if it's during praise and worship, he gets in people. And when folk have held on to those positions, they think they own the church. And God had to really get in that place and just run them all out. He took some by death. Others, they left on their own, to the point where he had to clean up New Birth a couple of times, from the old ones and the new ones. And I was able to put a program in place. And I had to tell them, look, we're not going to have this in here. If you got a problem, it outside. Don't bring it in here inside the church. And I had to literally get ugly until people understood that we will not act like this within the church.
Amen. Amen.
Once I put my foot down, the Spirit was able to come in. I could guide them in the way that he wanted, and then he could add people on that he wanted to be added.
Amen.
You're right. I mean, you got Negroes in the church who think because they've been there, it's supposed to be run this way, we've done it this way. They don't care how they look, how they sound, and this one would quote scripture.
Memorize.
And had other people following him. But again, that's just how the devil works. But it takes someone who is under the influence of the power of God to come in and make that change.
Amen. Amen. And that is the message of peace. And like I said, every nation, every household, every church, every individual that I know wants peace.
Yep.
And God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
And God is not giving us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. And peace is elusive when you don't have Jesus You don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't have the Father.
Right.
The three operating as one. As they are the head program, they're running the program. And when God brought Peter and Cornelius together, he brought them together and said, look, you guys have shown that you love me and you fear me and you revere me, but you guys got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is you say you love me, but you got a problem with each other. And God said, that's not my plan. That's
okay.
Not how it's going to work.
Right.
The problem is that people want to love God, but they want to have issues with each other.
Right.
And that's not what's going to bring about peace. That's
right.
A trick of the enemy to get you to say you love God, but act like you don't know God. And
mm-hmm.
and when you have that, it becomes hypocrisy to those that are you're trying to save, those that are that you're trying to get the message out to. And God is saying, I'm trying to get the message out to the Gentiles. I'm trying to get the message out to the more of the Jews. And I need you guys to stop fighting, to come together under the power of God, under the anointing, under the peace of God, to be able to spread this message. It's the same message today, you know. I don't care where you come from, whether you're European, whether you're Caucasian, whether you're Native, whether you're African American, wherever you come from. If you say you love me and you understand that the only way you'll have peace is through Jesus Christ, is
mm-hmm.
that you need to turn, repent from that crazy stuff that's causing so much division. And what spins my wig, Sheila G., is that you have these groups of people that hate each other that fill churches when the churches could be filled on every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And get out of church and go to the Walmart and can't stand each other in the Walmart. Sheila G. Help
Amen.
Me.
Just
spins,
Amen.
Spins my wig. Spins my wig.
As you were talking about it, it made me think about lukewarm Christians, where you profess that you love God, you profess that you are going to follow God, you tell God that I'm being obedient, and you know, you even got the ones that get on the political realm of we need to have the Supreme Court because we believe in life and versus choice and blah blah blah. So you go through all these legalistic type or traditional type things of the church, but then you put accept I don't like these people, or accept I can't
mm-hmm.
be around this person, or accept
mm-hmm.
I can't go here, or I love you Lord, but I mean it was in the convention last night.
Amen.
The God's gonna bring us people and God, but if you talk about God, why are you spewing hate in the next moment? And that's why he's talking about lukewarm. He wants you to be the hot or cold. But if you're gonna trust me, if you're gonna love me, then you need to be unified. If you're gonna follow me, follow me. Don't fake the funk. Don't follow me when it's convenient for you, and then when it's not, you lean back on your own understanding. No, you trust, you put your faith in me, and that means that you're going to love your brother as you love yourself. But don't put me in your mouth if you're not going to follow God's righteousness, if you're going to do self-righteousness, because then that's even worse. That's blasphemy, because now you're faking it, and
mm-hmm.
you're misleading my people. Where
mm-hmm.
the reason why he needs to be unified is if we're not unified, how can we find the lost? How can we help the lost? How can we draw others to Christ? It's less than the goodness of the Lord, but I'm being mean and nasty to you. You know, you can't, that's not of God, and I'm not, you know, we're not perfect. So, yes, things will come out of our mouth or we'll mistreat somebody, but if you're of God, you can go to that person and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that way,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have acted that way, you know, I ask God to forgive me, and I ask you if you could just excuse my behavior or what have you. But when you deliberately are being mean and nasty just because you don't like the person because of the way they look, the way they act, because you're jealous that they have more money than you, or they're jealous because they look prettier than you, but then you turn around and profess the goodness of God, and you know, we've seen people like that even at work, where they have just been so nasty, so mean, but then in the next breath, they talk about praising the Lord. And I'm like, Or they come in on Monday and say, I had a good time at church, but for the rest of the week, they're just as mean and undercutting, stabbing people in the back. God does not like that. And how can you be truly of God and act that way? When none of us are perfect, but something hits your soul, hits your spirit, and you know that you're convicted. And that you have to do something about it. But you got these lukewarm people that's like, when it's convenient for me or when I can be popular, I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. But when I want to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's not how God works.
Amen. Amen. And the bottom line is, this is not of God. And if it's not of God, it's of the devil. And
right.
And when the two sides understand that this is not of God, this is of the devil. You can't fake the phone. It's like if you're a racist, that's not of God. That's of the devil.
That's right.
You know, it's an uncomfortable subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's an uncomfortable subject because people don't want to be equated with the devil. But Peter, he preaches this message, and he lets them know that. You know, that's not under God's righteousness. That's the power of the devil. When people hate, they go against the two greatest commands. Jesus said these are the greatest commands of the ten, is that you love God with all your heart, mind, and your soul, and that you love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
He said all of the commandments hang on these two: love God and love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get to a place where you rely on God to help you do that, then you'll have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll mess up from time to time. From time to time, you'll slip up, but you won't be a habitual hellraiser. Hellraiser is a person that doesn't like peace. They like turmoil. They like stirring stuff.
Yeah.
They like chaos.
Huge.
And so when we read down to verse 36, he says, this is Acts 10:36. He says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. In verse 37, he says, you know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. In other words, you know the story. This is the story. In verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, this is what it takes to overcome the power and the authority and the influence of the devil. You need the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And how he went around, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the what? The power of what? The devil. In other words, what we're fighting against, racism, what we're fighting against, bigotry, what we're fighting against, hatred,
mm-hmm.
what we're fighting against, chaos, this is not the power of God. God is not one who wants this type of disease, this type of sin that causes disease and turmoil and unrest around the world. God wants us to be free. He wants us to be delivered from these things. And so
mm-hmm.
through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil. Why? Because God was with him.
Hallelujah.
And so you can't have it both ways.
Both ways.
It's not, you can't be lukewarm. You see that you're gonna be hot or you're gonna
cold.
Be cold. You're either gonna love God or you're not gonna love God. You're either on the Lord side or you're on the enemy side. And I believe that we have to put it in these plain terms that you need to act like you know. This is basically what Peter is saying. You need to act
mm-hmm.
like you know God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't hate me, and I can't hate you
and love
for
God.
Any reason, because God is not is not favoritism. He's not a respecter of any, and say you
right.
love God.
Right.
So who's on the Lord's side? And so, and so you have to choose you this day who you going to serve. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you pretty much have said a mouthful. And that story has been going on since then. You know, the Lord is pretty much saying, you know, it's a matter of choice. You can't serve the Lord on Sundays and go back to acting a fool Monday through Saturday. It's a thing where either you're going to love him or leave him alone. And I know it sounds crazy for me to say this, but I thank God for the pandemic because it's separating those persons that are for real and those that aren't. Now, I wish that more people would really take heed, because I've heard all kinds of excuses as to why they can't call in the services now. And it used to bother me in the beginning, but now I'm at the point where, okay, it's their choice. That's what they're choosing. But if you're serious, if you're walking with Christ, if you're walking, but you can't take advantage of the situation that we're in. You know, God closes one door, he opens another. So you go do what you got to do until you can get back in your building. But it's not about the building. It's about people coming together and doing what God wants us to do. And so the pandemic, it's showing those that are for real and those that aren't. Now, the ones that are for real, they're going to call in. They're appealing Sunday services, whether it's Zoom, blog call, conference call, or whatever, and those who aren't are going to continue to make excuses. And the Lord is just showing people where they are, but a lot of people just disregard it. And so we're still in that thing, and this is one of the reasons why, and not just this country, but all countries. You know, he shut everything to the point where nobody can do anything. And one thing I really love, you know, when I go to work during the day, you know, these big companies that was raking in all the money and had all these employees, buildings are mostly empty. The money coming in has dribbled, and they can't do what they want to do. So it's like the Lord has had to slash all them little big titles, and where companies had thousands and thousands of employees, they've dropped down to maybe a couple of thousand, and they're trying to figure a way how to stay afloat. So God is saying to everybody, it's time to put up or shut up.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila G.
And, you know, we talked about that, but we can't leave out the church because God is cleaning out the church, too.
Yes, he is.
Because I've heard from so many people that, you know, they were committed to their church. They'd been going to church. They'd been paying their tithes. And since the pandemic, they haven't heard anything unless the church reaches out to them every so often to ask them if they can still pay their tithes. So he's exposing the church, too, because, like I said, it was going through the whole tradition, people going through the motions, going through the legalistic thing, but they really weren't reaching out to the people and showing love and teaching people about love. It was like you had the big shots that were all at the higher part of the church, but, you know, it was almost like the people were serving the leadership in the church. Well, now it's that needs to serve the people. And God is exposing that too, because those that are for real, if you're truly in leadership, you know that you're a servant. But those that were in it for the glory, God is exposing it. There's going to be some churches that are split that will not come back. There's members that are like, okay, so what's going to happen when this pandemic is over? What, you're going to expect to walk right back in there now when I haven't heard from you, not even once a month, not a letter, not a hi, not a how you doing, not making sure is somebody, and the bigger you are, the more people you should be able to reach, because you should have all these people on full-time staff. But there are a lot of churches, from people that I've heard from, that they're hearing nothing. But maybe occasionally, are you going to pay your tithes? And their thought is, okay, now God has revealed to me that love that you preach about, that love that you talk about, was only for certain people. It wasn't for everybody in the church. You're not bending over to make sure that during this time, I feel God's love. There's a lot of people that are feeling lonely. They're locked up in their house, depressed. And that's where the church can step in. You know, somebody may be going through something, but I'm your member, and you don't even know that because you haven't even reached out, sent a newsletter, sent an email, text, anything, offered up anything. So God is exposing the church as well. He is wiping it all out, and he said, if you're not for real me, for me, you're either going to be hot or you're going to be cold, and when this thing does blow over, it's going to be shown. And so don't look. Because now all of a sudden you got members going to other places. You can't come call them and all of a sudden have them come back because you've exposed that you're not about God's work. You're about man's work. You're about yourself. You're about what you're looking like. And God has shown that if you don't show love at the tough times, then how can you lead my people?
Amen. And this, like I said, this word from this Bible is so applicable for today. And the basic message is that every nation needs God.
Right.
Every nation that loves peace. In order to do it, you've got to go to God for this peace, to get this love, get this power to be able to come to the power of the devil. And the devil has power, but he doesn't have all power. And
right.
So we have to understand that Jesus was able to overcome the consequences of the flesh being tempted because God was with him. And when you realize that God is with you and you can have peace in knowing that God has paid a price that you couldn't pay, he cleaned your slate free, he's giving you the ability to be right in his sight through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that has to change your heart. And like I said, it's a heart thing. When people's hearts are right with God, then they can deal with each other. We can love each other in spite of each other, in spite of what was going on, in spite of what's going on. You can love people. And a lot of times we see that these people who have been had injustice done with their children or with their family members, they don't go out and riot. They don't go out and loot. They say that doesn't represent them. They want to love, and they want to be loved. One of the basketball coaches, Doc Rivers, made a statement this week in light of the Jacob Blake shooting, and he said, you know, why do we keep loving a country that doesn't love us? And it was a hurting comment that he made, and it was he understood that the answer was love.
Right.
He understood that we're still a loving people, but we're reaching out in love. But people are rejecting love, and this was the message that Peter. We're gonna look at the rest of this, rest of the chapter. Peter was expressing Jesus' love, knowing that the people needed peace, knowing that the people needed a savior, knowing that people that needed to be covered in the righteousness of Jesus, and even though they hated him, even though they beat him, even though they put him in jail, he still loved them in spite of them, and the answer to all of our ills, whether we realize it or not, is to love God. And when you can love God, you can love each other and realize that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us need to be saved by grace. And all of us know that the wages of sin is death. And the only person that overcame sin, the death and the grave, was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we are buried together with him, then we'll be able to be resurrected with him, and that we would be like the first fruit, like he was the first fruit from the grave. He defeated death in the grave. And so all he's doing is showing love. And when Doc said that, he said, why are we loving, still love of people that don't love us? And you know, you look at Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, he Jesus was able to overcome the hatred, overcome the bigotry, overcome the scorn, overcome the being called everything but a child of God because of the love that was in his heart that was placed there by God. And so that message of let's go to verse 39. It says, We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. In other words, they thought by killing him that was going to solve. In our society today, because people don't have love in their heart, they'll kill, they'll shoot people of color that don't look like them, thinking that that's going to solve.
Right.
Killing people is not going to solve it. Love is going to solve it.
It
says they killed him by hanging him on a cross, and then that verse 40 again with that "but God." But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. In other words, you can't beat God.
Nope.
You can't beat God. I don't care how hard you try. God will do things to get people's attention, to make them close their mouths, sit down and shut up and realize that he is God, and beside him there is no other. In other words, we need to stop trying to figure this thing out. We need to stop trying to come up with this. Realize that even if through the killing, if we killed, all of us killed each other until there wasn't nobody left, God still going to get the glory.
Thank you.
I mean, help me out, Sheila G.
What the enemy means for evil, God will work it out for our good. And when I think about it, and I know I said this maybe a couple of weeks ago, something as simple as cell phones, electronics, the video games, God, you know, it was the rich man, people that were made money, you know, Apple and Samsung and whoever else created these tools of with social media and all of that. And initially, it was bad. You know, people would post anything on Facebook. And even in the 2016 election, if you recall, Russia tapped into the social media, and that's how that fool ended up being in there. So it was evil. But that same tool that the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out, so it's been used to expose evil.
Exactly.
So now it's being used so people can still have church, and it's a more intimate service.
Amen.
God has worked it out so that when one thing is shown, no matter what the police say, they turn around and say, well, okay, well, we see where you got somebody walking down the street that doesn't look like me, that's not black, with a gun, drive police cars driving by, and he ends up killing people. So you cannot talk about, say, it's just the people that burned the building down or violence or anything. It's all over. So what the enemy means for evil, God, in his own way, takes that thing, turns it around, uses it for good. And that is what this is talking about. It's like, okay, yeah, they killed him, they crucified him, they talked about it. But God worked it out.
But God.
He raised him. So it's the same thing, that same social media, that same cell phone, that same people in church not paying into the church because they're texting and looking at the phones and stuff. God took that stuff and turned it around to expose people, that same tool. So God can use anything because he said it earlier in this chapter. I don't allow anything. Everything I created, everything I allow is good. I can turn it into no weapon formed against me shall prosper, because God ultimately has it under control. And so Satan can't do anything that God doesn't allow. But then God will turn it around and say, okay, can you hear me now? You finished now? Well, let me flip this thing. I'm going to use that same sword, that same thing to expose you.
Amen, amen. And God knew that Jesus had to die for the sins of the world, because that's the only way we was going to be saved. That's why back in Genesis, the third chapter, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and your seed. He understood that. Satan didn't understand that. When Jesus was crucified, Satan thought he had the victory. He thought he had won. He thought that was it. But God raised him from the dead. In other words, the debt that was the curse that was required back in Genesis 2:17, where he said, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And when they ate in Genesis 3, then everybody in the universe, the universal judgment system, was like, "Who gonna die? Everybody gonna die." And God said, "True that. Everybody gonna die spiritually, but I got a plan in my son." That when he pays the price and wipes the slate clean, he going to get up. Come on now. I'm going to raise him from the dead, and he's going to be raised with all power in his hand with victory over death and the grave. And like you said, Sheila T., what man went for bad, God turned it out for good. And so this is the message that Peter and Cornelius are preaching to people, to let them know that God is in control and God has worked this thing out. Get out of your hatred. Get out of your thoughts and influence of the flesh with Satan, with the devil. Turn from those things. Repent. Be renewed in the spirit. Be regenerated. Be renewed in your mind. And demonstrate what God can do and what God has done in your life. And you have to do that through love.
Amen.
And this is what they're preaching. This is what they're teaching. And when you do it through love, you'll be able to have peace in your heart and your mind to understand that you're right with God, you're right with your neighbor, and you're doing it God's way. But when he said he raised him on the third day, good gracious alive. And then in verse 41, he says, "And was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." In other words, and he showed it to you. This wasn't something that was done in the dark. He showed you his power. He showed you that he was alive, not just alive as a ghost, but bodily resurrection, where he was walking, he was talking, he was eating, he was fellowshipping. And this is what God said. He has the power over death and the grave. He has power to be able to bring that what was dead back in Genesis to alive again. And that's the power of God. When you have been born again, when you have been renewed in the spirit, when you understand that God has the ability over death and the grave, then you don't have to worry about the power and the penalty of sin anymore, because it has been wiped off. It's just like you're debt-free from the power and the penalty of sin. God has paid the price. And this is the message that he's giving to the Jews and the Gentiles. But the Jews and the Gentiles got to get this thing straight, that they say it's not just for you, but it's for everybody. We need to get off that trip that I'm not privileged because I came on this side of the track. No, you were made in the image of God, and God loves you enough to send his son that he would pay the price that you couldn't pay. Your American Express, your gold, your silver, your stocks, your bonds, none of that could pay the price to get your behind and your neighbors in bind, and everybody in the world behind, out of hot trouble that you got in by following the devil. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking as you were preaching and talking about all that Christ had to do in order to set us free, and how the enemy continues to come in through people like Agent Orange and others, and will put that influence of the negative. And again, we see it because of positions and power and how, you know, we're trying to hold on to all of that, and we've turned our back on peace. We've turned our back on love. It's not about loving our brethren anymore. All that
Amen.
Stuff about
Amen.
Our trust has just gone out the window. You know, it's about what position, what party I'm in, who's in charge, and how can I keep it. And we don't care, or up to this point, people have not cared about any of that. But something has happened now where God has continued to get people's attention. Now, anytime sports figures began to boycott playing games, and not just one sport, but as Sheila was saying, all different sports, and it's not just one race of people. You've got other races of people, just like with the protests, you know, all of the Black Lives Matter, even in Wisconsin. You know, a lot of that mess was going on, but yet I still saw white faces out there protesting. There was a white boy that tried to jump this fool with a gun. And he got killed. So, you know, God is still in the midst of it. And the devil is just running wild right now. But the Lord is beginning to take hold and beginning to change people's hearts. And you were talking about doctors with that press release that he did. I mean, my heart just melted when he got on and he was hot. And that's the way we all should be. You know, we're at a point now where making money and satisfying the rich seems to be the way to go. And God is not happy with none of it, whether it's the U.S. or Russia or China or whoever. And he has basically shut everybody down. And you're right, until we get back to the point where we begin to love the Lord our God first, and all that other junk becomes second, we're never going to be where we ought to be as this country or any kind of country. I mean, the Lord almost is sending a message that he's getting ready to come back, but certain things have to take place first. We as a people, whether it's the U.S. or whatever nation, need to take heed. God is not playing now.
Amen. Amen. And to finish up on this section, when you see that he has shown witnesses, in other words, God is presenting the case. And this is what I tell people when they ask me about what's going on in the world. And, you know, I point them to different sections of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. But the bottom line is God is presenting his case.
Amen.
And as he presents the case, he's going to preside over the whole world, and he's going to present the righteous, and he's going to present the unrighteous. And he's presenting the case that everyone had an opportunity to repent.
Hello.
And seek for forgiveness. But these over here are the ones that repented, and these over here are the ones that didn't repent. He's presenting the case. And so when we look at the rest of this section, in verse 42, he said, he commanded us to preach to the people, right? And to testify that he is the one, Lord have mercy, whom God appointed, talking about Jesus, as judge of what? The living
And the dead.
In other words, I can't judge anybody because I don't have a heaven and a hell. You can't judge anybody because we don't have a heaven and a hell. But he says that he is the judge between the living and the dead.
Yep.
And verse 43 says, everybody heard this message because in verse 43 he says, all the prophets testify about him. That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And sin was the divider of us from God and each other back in Genesis, the third chapter, when they broke God's command or God's, they called God a liar and they believed Satan over God.
Mm-hmm.
When Satan deceived Adam and Eve, when God said, the day you surely eat of it, you're going to die. And Satan said, you surely want God. Man had a choice. He had a choice to believe the truth of God or believe the lie of Satan. And there's people today that rather choose the lie of Satan over the truth of God. And what's going to happen is God is going to win this case. He's already won the case. And he's giving everybody an opportunity. That whosoever will, let him hear what the Lord has to say. what the Spirit is saying. God's going to be the judge. God's the one that's going to stand up and say, I sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to tell you about this sin that you believe Satan over God. And one day, when he cracks the sky, Lord have mercy, it's going to be too late because the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn and tribulation is coming, buddy.
Amen.
Sheila G, I done took too much of your time. I done took too much of your time tonight, Sheila G.
All right. That's all right. But, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Nope. There just isn't new. At the end of the day, if you're going to get to that destination, if you're going to enjoy the trip while you're going towards that destination of salvation and everlasting life, you have to do it through Jesus.
Amen.
It's in the name of Jesus. That's what it just says here. And you can't keep it to yourself. You can't sit up in your house reading your word, just hold it to yourself. He says go out and tell people because there are the lost. There are those that are being tempted by Satan, but God wants us to help those people because there is sin in the world. Satan does have power on this earth, but he doesn't have power and authority, and it's up to us to share that with other people. And like Pastor G was saying, we've lost our moral compass, so God had to wake everybody up. And I distinctly remember us talking about this last year when we first were going through God's, and when this first administration came in, it was like we kept saying, we've lost our moral compass, we've lost our moral compass. And then what happens? All of this happens because with the pandemic, with the social economic, with the injustice, all of it all at once, with the storms, with the fire, everything is happening. And it was like you lost that moral compass. And what we were saying in our Bible study lesson was that we are not putting God first. And those of us that know the Lord aren't sharing that with other people. You know, we were talking about things where you're on, when you're on the subway or when you're in the store, just giving somebody a smile because you don't know what somebody's going through. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, and we stopped doing that. So now God is bringing it, and he says it right here. You can't do it unless you go, because God died and conquered death for us. But we have to make that choice to follow him, and we have to share it with others and point them in the right direction as well.
Amen. Amen. There's some more scriptures that I want to bring in, but we're out of time. But I want to go back and prayerfully we'll be able to get together next Thursday and see how Jesus defeated death and the grave. And people have to understand you're free from death and the grave, and the scripture tells us this. So we want to do some more teaching on that, but and we're gonna get some more time for people to have their testimony about this. We just wanted to finish that up tonight, and I just don't want to shortchange people or keep people too long tonight, Dr. G, but. It's so important for people to realize what they're looking for, you know, is already there. Adam and Eve, you know, God gave them, they had everything that they were looking for, but Satan came in and tempted them and took their eye off of God and with a bunch of foolishness in his clown show that had devastating consequences in their lives. And so we have to be careful not to keep falling for the same trick of the enemy. That God has done and provided everything we need to bring us back at peace and love with him and our neighbor. But we keep falling for the same okey-doke of Satan, of hatred and division. And we got to stop falling for that because it leads to death and destruction. And it might look good. It might sound good. It might make you feel like you're better than someone else and pump you up and swell you up. But in the end, if it's not right in the sight of God, it's not of God.
Amen.
So Dr. G, if you could give us your last comments and close us out in prayer, we promise, Lord say so, we'll be able to get your testimonies on next Thursday. Dr. G.
Well, I think everyone has pretty much put it out there.
the bottom line is, you know, it's up to us to choose whether we're going to serve the Lord or whether we're going to serve the devil. And the time that he has us right now is time not just to go through the motions. We better take each day seriously and think about it prayerfully. Take a look on the inside of our hearts and minds and understand that we haven't gotten here on our own. It's only by the grace of God. And so it's time to wake up now. And I think the Lord is giving all of us an opportunity to really open our eyes wide and take a good look. With that, we're going to ask everyone if they would just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another time that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for Peter. Lord, we thank you for Cornelius. We thank you, Lord, that they were obedient to do what you wanted to be done. Father, we pray right now for those that are listening in. I ask that you would enlighten their minds and their hearts and help them to understand what we have to be about. Father, we thank you right now for all that you have done, and we're praying for all that you want us to do. Lord, we pray, we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.